How many of you have heard the word Shema? It's not something you spread on a bagel or something like that. The Shema is a prayer that all good Jews knew then and should know also today. It comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, and is memorized, and it is placed on the doorpost of homes in a scroll inside of what's called a mezuzah. And it is touched as the person leaves the house or comes into the house, on your way in or your way out. And here's what is made up of the Shema. It's a prayer that we're all familiar with. Maybe not so with the first part, but listen. Hear, O Israel. Now, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. You heard a part of that this morning. It said, our Lord Jesus Christ said, okay? I want to suggest to you that the most important part of that prayer is this. The Lord is one. And that is a description. Not that he's monotheistic, which is a, you know, church term for being one God. But one is the place that he is to hold in our lives, our hearts, and our minds. Now, the Christian might look at it this way and say that, okay, he is one God in three persons, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And while that's true, the most significance of this is the place where God should be in our lives. I'm going to make it more clear. An important question that each one of us should be asking ourselves today is, where in our list of priorities is God? Remember David Letterman? He looks a lot different today than he did when he was hosting Late Night with David Letterman. And he would always do the top 10 list. I got to tell you, a dear friend of mine was his sound technician at NBC. And he didn't go with him to CBS, but he was the one who brought in, when David had the blue card, and after he would go to the top 10 list and toss it through the window, my friend Bruce Leonard would make that crashing glass sound. So you might remember that, okay? So, that top 10 list. So what's your top 10 list? Think about it. When we get in the morning, it's the first thing we do, besides going off to the bathroom, for many of us who are older, that is a that's not a priority, that's a necessity. But do you first put on your coffee? Is that the first thing you do? Have a little something to eat? And then maybe, if possible, take a little bit of time to talk to God and thank him for the new day and what's in store for you. Or is our mind racing with all the things that we need to do that day? So where in your list does God come? Last week I shared with you something that I learned, that I felt the Lord put on my heart, and is that we don't need to slam God with our list and overwhelm him with our list of needs and wants. He already knows them. Instead, we should lifting up those that we're thankful for and asking God to do his will in our life and in theirs, the lives of those we care about. We can give him our concerns and those people whom we want healing for. But again, we need to let him be God, to do his will and not ours. I want to encourage you to speak with God every morning, thanking him and lifting up those with whom we love. It's so very, very important. He should and he must come first. It's also not such a bad idea to be talking to him throughout the day. As the Apostle Paul says, pray without ceasing. The gospel message today is an unnerving one, in which Jesus clearly says he must come at the top of our priority list. Here's a perfect example. He says, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That's from today's gospel. It would seem on the surface that Jesus was looking to drive families apart. But that is not his intention. He's simply saying that we need to set our priorities straight. What's happening in reality is that some families and relationships are broken apart because of non-belief or because of social issues that are more important to some people than the Word of God. We have experienced that here in this church, in the Anglican Church of North America, when we left our dearly beloved church because they went astray and we wanted to stay with the Word of God. I won't say anything more about that. That's still too fresh in many of our hearts. But some parents have disowned children because the children have found Jesus in their life. It's absolutely wonderful to love and care for your family, but Jesus needs to come first. The Lord our God is one. How come we can go to a sporting event and we can chant, "We're number one, we're number one, we're number one," but we would be blown out of the place if we started to chant, "Jesus is number one, Jesus is number one, Jesus is number one." Society was not and is not ready for that in our politically correct world. We can see as the story unwinds how difficult this was for even those who knew Jesus personally and followed him every day. He was speaking to the apostles. Peter denied him. Judas betrayed him. And the rest, they all ran away when he got arrested, tried, and killed. But the challenge remains for us to be embracing everything, demanding everything, offering everything, and promising everything to him for his sake. For this is like on the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus taught a new way of following God. Priorities must be straightened. I want you to hear these words that Jesus taught. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad," he says, "because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." That's from Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 to 12. That's on the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount. And just like those words from the Sermon on the Mount, the challenge of Jesus is saying is matched by the remarkable promises that he makes to those who accept him and live by them. Those who deny him, those who deny him before others is to plainly put disown him. He will own us before his Father in heaven. Those who lose their lives will find them. Can you just imagine the remarkable chain reaction of those who serve their fellow human beings out of love of Jesus? I talked to you about the Coffee County Food Bank. That is out of love for Jesus. Feed the poor. Feed those who need. And we can come alongside them. Whatever you do for Jesus, you do not just for Jesus, but for God. "The one who sent me," Jesus says. Give a cup of cold water to one of Jesus' least significant followers, and you're giving it to Jesus himself. It might look like a box of macaroni and cheese, but it's everything to the person who receives it. People have looked at this pericope. What? What's a pericope? Is it something that a doctor removes? Is it something that's found in a shoulder when it's being operated on? What is a pericope? It's a passage of Scripture. And in this indication, it's a passage of Scripture from the life of Jesus. our Lord pitting family members against one another. But again, Jesus is not trying to pit people against one another. He is telling us to check our priorities and what will be driving and has driven people against each other. Just before today's Holy Gospel are the words from last week's sermon, last week's Holy Gospel from Matthew 10, 32 to 33. Jesus says, "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father who's in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven." Again, it really has to do with our priorities. Sometimes, let me correct that. This topic should always make people a little uneasy. That's its intention. Can you just imagine the people who heard Jesus speaking those words about family members against one another? Again, what Jesus is getting at is what is before him in your life. When it comes to worshiping him, what stands in your way of doing that first? What comes before him on a Sunday morning? What comes before giving your time, your treasure, and your talents for him? As these are very valid questions, and I could go on and on and on, but this is supposed to only be an hour and a half service. So I'm putting that first as a priority, that I'm getting the word out, but I'm also considering your time. Very valid questions. They all make every one of us a little squirmy, a little uncomfortable in our seats. The bottom line is this: Jesus needs to be first, number one. And believe me, my friends, my family, that's non-negotiable. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.